before we start the arguments, a couple of, say, business matters to take care of. First of all, appellant has filed a supplement to the record which you granted, which was the order of the Vancouver court. But unfortunately, the copy that was e-filed appears to be missing pages 4 and 27. And so if counsel could, within some reasonable amount of time, e-file those additional pages, that would be appreciated. Okay. And in light of the supplemental authority, the court is anticipating that it will issue a written order asking the parties to do some supplemental briefing on the issue of mootness. And so we may ask you some questions, or you may address that issue during argument, but just so that you're aware, you'll probably be seeing an order with a specific issue concerning mootness that we would have you address. That you may begin.
May it please the court, I'm Sarah Lipka from Colorado Legal Services, attorney registration number 39427. I represent appellant mother, Ms. Leah Marie Escobel. At this time, I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal. I'm asking this court to find that Colorado maintains subject matter jurisdiction to issue permanent orders in the allocation of criminal responsibilities action in the Denver County District Court. There are two main reasons why Colorado has subject matter jurisdiction over this family. First, subject matter jurisdiction here was determined under the Hague Convention on the Civil Aspects of International Child Abduction, which has been codified in the United States as the International Child Abduction Remedies Act, or ACARA as I refer to it in my brief.
Ms. Lipka, if I could interrupt you, do we determine subject matter jurisdiction based upon the Hague Convention or based on the Uniform Child Custody Jurisdiction and Enforcement Act, or both?
Thank you, Your Honor. I believe that because subject matter jurisdiction was determined in the Hague Convention action, that became the law of the case, and it could not be addressed again under the UCC-JEA analysis. However, even under the UCC-JEA analysis, the trial court should have retained subject matter jurisdiction in Colorado. Okay. Before I get into my arguments, I would like to address the mootness issue that you raised.
There were two points. Second point.
Oh, the first point is that the subject matter jurisdiction was determined under ACARA, and therefore it's precluded from being determined under another analysis later on. The second reason is, even if the court finds that subject matter jurisdiction should be determined under the UCC-JEA, the trial court should have retained subject matter jurisdiction under the UCC-JEA. Okay. An issue is moot if it has no practical impact on the controversy. This court's decision will have an impact on the family in this case for years to come. The children in this case are 9 and 4 years old. Usually, a court that has jurisdiction over a family in an allocation of criminal responsibilities action will maintain that jurisdiction over the children until the children are emancipated. Unfortunately, there has been heavy litigation in both the United States and in Canada regarding custody of the children. What I'm asking this court to do is find that Colorado is the proper location to determine allocation of criminal responsibilities for the children, not Canada.
In regard to the litigation that you're referring to in Canada, the Canadian court has issued a parental responsibility order. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Why doesn't that raise mootness issues then if the controversy has been settled by the Canadian court?
Because as appellee has pointed out, subject matter jurisdiction can be raised at any time. But I'm asked, and this case is not completely resolved. The children are still minors. I'm asking the court to determine which country will make decisions about the children from now on. So if this court does send this case back to the trial court, then father will have to follow orders issued out of the trial court here in Colorado, just like mother had to follow orders issued out of the Vancouver court. even, oh.
Go ahead and finish your sentence.
Even if father refuses to follow the orders issued out of the Colorado court, mother still has remedies available to her. She can seek to enforce any future orders issued out of Colorado in Vancouver, just like father sought to enforce his ex parte custody order here in Colorado. It would be difficult, but not all remedy. There are still remedies available to her.
Ms. Lipka, the Hague Convention order that you referred to from Colorado that was issued by Judge Bryan was based on an exception to the Hague Convention based upon the father's alleged abuse of either your client or the children or both. But those contentions, at least with regard to the children, were rejected by the recent decision of the Canadian court. So what impact would that have on any analysis under the Hague Convention?
Thank you. That should not have an impact on this court's analysis of the case, because this court is determining if the trial court erred in waiving subject matter jurisdiction of the case at the time of the hearing. And if you look at the record, the trial court found the forensic interview of the child to be credible and convincing evidence. The trial court believed that the child was sexually assaulted by his father. The court made that determination and then released subject matter jurisdiction to Vancouver, which is the issue on appeal.
Question under action.
That's correct. The Hague Convention does not determine custody of the children. There are some things that the Hague Convention action has to determine. The Hague Convention looks at the country of habitual residency, if removal from that country was in breach of any custody rights, if the removal occurred within the past year, and if any of the very narrow affirmative defenses that are in place would preclude returning the children to that country.
So I guess I'm confused about how the decision on retention then controls the decision on the location of the custody determination.
Okay. Well, Article 16 of the Hague Convention states that a country shall not determine custody of a child until that country has made a determination under the Hague Convention analysis to retain the child. So that language would imply that if a country determines to retain the child, then that country would retain jurisdiction over custody. I cited some federal cases in my brief, three federal cases, Surrett, Ousseau, and Yang, which mostly address if an ACARA case should be heard in state or federal court. But all three of those decisions state that the Hague Convention action necessarily determines which country will decide the custody of the children. And if the Hague Convention action does not determine subject matter jurisdiction between the countries, then the Hague Convention, the treaty itself, is significantly weakened, as what happened in this case. What happened here is father did not appeal the denial of the Hague Convention. He waited over a year after that case had been issued, and then in the APR case, after receiving a very negative child and family investigator report recommending that the children remain with mother, at that point he raised subject matter jurisdiction under the UCC JEA. What he has done is circumvented the treaty in violation of the Supremacy Clause in the United States Constitution, is placing the statute above the treaty. He's using the statute to go around the delicate balance that's set out in the treaties in determining which country, where the children will reside, which country should proceed with the custody case. In the Adams County District Court case, the judge transferred the case to Denver, and the ICRA case was consolidated into the Denver County District Court case. The judge in Adams County ruled that Denver was the proper place to hold the custody hearings. Because that case was consolidated into the Denver County District Court case, that ruling that subject matter determination became the law of the case. It should not be raised again a year later under a different analysis.
Ms. Lipka, is it possible to have different determinations, which appears to be what happened here, under both the Hague Convention and the UCCJEA? Because as I understand it, Judge Bryan basically said, that the children may have been wrongfully removed from Canada, but under an exception to the Hague Convention, that jurisdiction was proper in Colorado. And then subsequently, Judge Laff said, under the UCCJEA, which applied to this dispute, that nevertheless, that the allocation of parental rights determination should be determined in Canada. Are those necessarily inconsistent in your view?
They are, and I have not found another case where somebody lost under the Hague Convention and then used the UCCJEA to move jurisdiction of the case to another country. The UCCJEA has exceptions to international application of the UCCJEA to other countries, just as the Hague Convention has very narrow exceptions to returning the child in some circumstances. So the UCCJEA, as you know, is usually applied to intrastate conflicts, but it can be used for when there's another country involved. And that is appropriate and helpful in cases such as a case where the other country is not a party to the Hague Convention. But in this case, it was already determined under the Hague Convention, and so determining it again under the UCCJEA was inappropriate. Even if the trial courts should have made a determination under the UCCJEA, the trial court should have retained subject matter jurisdiction. There are two exceptions to international application of the UCCJEA. The first one is if the child custody law of a foreign country violates fundamental principles of human rights. Professor Blair, which I cited in my brief, wrote an article which predicted the problems in this case before the court. The problem is that international application of the UCCJEA here violates the children's human rights. The trial court found that the forensic interview was credible, that the child was sexually assaulted, and then still released jurisdiction to Canada. Professor Blair argues that when application of the law would violate a child's human rights, then in that case also, the escape clause should be used. If you don't read the escape clause in that manner, then the language of the escape clause to the UCCJEA can, as it does here, be used to circumvent the Hague Convention. Rather, the escape clause in the UCCJEA should be read in a way to complement the balance set out in the Hague Convention so that the two can work together.
Let me back up to some very basic. What's your position? Were the children wrongfully removed from Canada to Colorado?
I don't think I would say they're wrongfully removed. Under the UCCJEA analysis, a child is not wrongfully removed if a parent is protecting the children from child abuse or if there's been domestic violence. I also don't believe the children were wrongfully removed under the Hague Convention because the court found that returning them would subject them to a grave risk of physical harm or place the children in an intolerable situation.
Seems to me that what else is being set up as potentially intolerable is we have Colorado courts making certain decisions and then Canadian courts making opposite decisions and disagreeing to some extent with the Colorado courts. And so I'm trying to figure out, going back under the Hague Convention, if the children were wrongfully removed, and that's why I asked you that question.
Okay, no, I don't believe they're wrongfully removed, and father did not appeal the Hague Convention petition, so we're just dealing with the Denver County District Court. Does that answer your question? Okay, I'd like to reserve my time for rebuttal unless there are any other questions. Okay, thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Karen Chatfield, registration number 24380. On behalf of the appellee in this case, Nicola Boswell, more informally called Nick Boswell. Nick Boswell is in Canada, British Columbia, Canada, at this time with both of his children. This Denver District Court did not have jurisdiction to determine the best interests of these children. There was a case in Canada. As soon as Ms. Escobar left Canada with the children, my client, Mr. Boswell, went into Canadian court and filed an action. Then he spent months trying to track Ms. Escobar down.
Ms. Chatfield, if I could interrupt you.
Yes.
Let me ask the same question that Judge Roman just asked Ms. Lipka. In your view, was Ms. Escobar's taking the children to Colorado a wrongful removal? And if so, under what, under the Hague Convention, the UCCJEA, or some other provision?
It's wrongful removal under the Hague Convention.
Why is it wrongful removal? What provision of the Hague Convention are you relying on for that statement?
I'm at a loss. My client had rights of custody in Canada, and Ms. Escobar, after living there in Canada with my client for more than several years and having two children, left Canada without consulting my client, without advising my client where she was going. I believe that is, can be defined as a wrongful removal.
Well, as I understand it, when Ms. Escobar left Colorado, or left to go to Colorado, no court custody orders had been in effect. Is my understanding correct in that regard?
That's correct. There was no orders in effect whatsoever in Canada at the time she actually left.
So
no, let me back up. My understanding is when she actually crossed the border to the United States, and I believe it's in the record, that at the time she actually crossed the border in the United States, prior to crossing the border, she had been at a shelter in British Columbia, Canada. So at the time she crossed the border, my understanding, there was already the case pending in Canada, and I believe the Canadian court found that, and that there was that emergency order entered, or the ex parte order entered, giving my client primary care of the children. So at the time she did cross the border, yes, there was an order already in place, because the police were trying to find her and my client was trying to find her.
And do you recall what Canadian order that would have been that said that there had already been an, that already gave custody to your client at the time that Ms. Escobar left to go?
It was the initial order entered in the Canadian case, the same case that now has entered final permanent orders.
Okay. All right, thank you.
On the uniform, despite the fact that the Hague Convention was denied, the Hague Convention in Adams County was denied on very narrow grounds. The court in Adams County did not determine jurisdiction, subject matter jurisdiction, nor did it make a determination as to what court this case should proceed in. The court in Adams County had been advised there was a Denver case that had just been filed by Ms. Escobar. That is why he sent the Adams County case after he made his ruling on the Hague Convention there. It is not my understanding that he made any determination that Denver had proper subject matter jurisdiction or anyone else. In fact, he did state in his order that my client had made a prima facie case that he was entitled to take the children back to Canada. On the Uniform Child Custody Jurisdiction, there is no conflict here between the Hague Convention and the Uniform Child Custody Jurisdiction Enforcement Act. We are talking two different laws. One's a treaty and one's Colorado law.
Ms. Chatfield, does the Hague Convention order by Judge Bryan, which was based on an exception to the Hague Convention, is that based on, or does that deal with subject matter jurisdiction at all in your view?
No, it does not. Hague Convention is a remedy for international abductions of the children. And my client went before Adams County rightfully to secure the children wrongfully removed from Colorado. And it's also to ensure the rights of custody and access under the law of one contracting state are effectively respected in another contracting state. That's all the Hague Convention is for. My client could not afford to appeal that ruling and sought other remedies. And it did not say, it did not, does not affect the applicability of the Uniform Child Custody Jurisdiction Enforcement Act. And it's clear under the Uniform Child Custody Jurisdiction Enforcement Act that Canada, British Columbia, Canada, the provincial court, I think it's called the provincial court, excuse me, in British Columbia, Vancouver, British Columbia, has jurisdiction. My client filed an action long before Ms. Escobar filed her action in Denver. Ms. Escobar entered that case up there, had an attorney, a court appointed it. I believe it's their equivalent of legal services attorney up there, and actually filed documents into that case. So she was litigating that case. However, her motion before that court was denied because she did not in herself appear in person. And then she subsequently filed in Denver, despite the fact that the case was pending in British Columbia. And she actually had written on her, I believe she filed it pro se, her petition in Denver. She actually put in a petition about the pending action in British Columbia, Canada. And the court in Denver should have immediately been, understood then that there was another case pending concerning these children. And I, all respect to Judge Laff, I repeatedly brought up this issue that there's no jurisdiction in Denver. And we did briefs back and forth. We argued that despite the fact Judge Laff had us proceed with permanent orders hearing, but then he issued the proper order in that case, finding that there was not subject matter jurisdiction in Denver, but rather it's in British Columbia, Canada, and issued a temporary order, which I did not think was appropriate, but he entered it, but it has now expired. And the case has since then proceeded in Canada. As far as I understand, there was no stay issued, no request for a stay in Canada, pending the appeal down here, and that case proceeded up there. In the court up there, because jurisdiction was proper in British Columbia, Canada, they had more evidence. They had the allegations concerning my client sexually abusing a child would have occurred in Canada if it did occur. And my client, of course, says it never occurred. All the evidence was there. It was wrong for the court to even proceed down here concerning custody because all the evidence was in Canada. We were incredibly hindered by proceeding in Denver District Court because, like I said, everything was in Canada, including the police investigation up there, which found my client did not sexually abuse this child. According to everything else, all the evidence was up there. Ms. Escobar fled Canada with these children, hid these children, made up lies with these children.
Ms. Chatfield, I'd like to ask you two questions. Number one, following up on my earlier question, you said that the Hague Convention order didn't implicate subject matter jurisdiction. Did Judge Laff's order under the UCCJEA concern subject matter jurisdiction?
His order said that subject matter jurisdiction properly resides in Canada. All he did was enter a temporary order, which is allowed under the Uniform Child Custody Jurisdiction Act. Enforcement Act.
So you're saying that the UCCJEA order did implicate subject matter jurisdiction or concern subject matter jurisdiction?
Yeah, because it said subject matter jurisdiction is in Canada.
Okay. My second question is whether you're prepared to comment on whether you think the case is moot based upon the Canadian court's ruling last month or whether you would prefer to wait until we afford you an opportunity to brief that issue.
Without having briefed that issue, I would just say that I think that's an excellent question. I would say that it is moot because Canada has ruled, and as far as I understand, there's been no, and my client has the children now. I don't know where Ms. Escobar is now, but the court, in my estimation, has made proper rulings in this case, and they had more evidence to make proper rulings than the Denver court did. And yes, I believe this appeal is moot because of that. I would be willing, though, to brief that issue further, Your Honor.
Thank you.
I don't believe I have anything further to say if Your Honors have anything else to ask me. I think that it's really clear, it's black-letter law, that Uniform Child Custody Jurisdiction Enforcement Act demands that this case be heard in Canada, and it subsequently has been heard in Canada. To have two different courts litigating these issues has just been incredibly unnecessary and been a waste of Denver District Court's time and your Honor's time. Jurisdiction lied in Canada and has lied in Canada since 2007 when my client filed an action there. When we're dealing with the Uniform Child Custody Jurisdiction Enforcement Act in The Hague, we're dealing with really complicated issues and sometimes somewhat cloudy issues. And yes, it was somewhat complicated by the fact of Ms. Escobar bringing forth allegations concerning my client, which through the Adams County Court, and so what do we do here? Okay, we got rule, Article 13B, I guess we ought to rely upon that in the Hague Convention and deny the children being immediately taken back to Canada because of their concerns regarding the children. However, that does not say we say that there is no jurisdiction in Colorado on the Uniform Child Custody Jurisdiction Enforcement Act, because there isn't. One thing does not foreclose the other. My client sought his proper remedies in this case. Uniform Child Custody Jurisdiction Enforcement Act requires that the court case be heard where there's jurisdiction, and that is to protect the best interests of the children, because otherwise there's not sufficient evidence. Jurisdiction-wide in British Columbia, Canada, the place where both these parties live together, where my client still lives, where these parties live together and raised these children for several years, and that's where jurisdiction was. And and for anyone to say that the mother bringing the kids down to Colorado and can file a case flies in the face of that common sense and legal principle. Otherwise, the purpose of the Uniform Child Custody Jurisdiction Enforcement Act is so people don't do that, so parents don't run across to another border, whether it's a country border or a state border, and file an action there. It's to make so there's certainty, so there's a way to do these things. You don't let people run with the kids and say, oh, I'm going to file a case here now. You just don't do that. Thank you.
Just a couple issues. I would just like to reiterate that because of issue preclusion and claim preclusion, the family could not relitigate subject matter jurisdiction again under the UCCJEA analysis after that issue had been decided in the ICRA case, the ICARA case. Both parties were in the ICARA case. There was personal jurisdiction. They were there. It was the same children. And that court determined which country would have subject matter jurisdiction. Regarding the timeline question, I think there's a finding about that in the transcript of the order in the record, but it's my understanding that she fled to a domestic violence shelter, he filed a case, she crossed the border, and then the order was issued out of Canada. But the dates are a little murky. The wrongful removal determination under ICARA was determined by the Adams County District Court. That judge held that there was no wrongful removal because the mother was returning the children would subject the children to harm because mother fled because of domestic violence, sexual abuse. Similarly, the children were not wrongfully removed under UCCJEA analysis because of the official comment to the UCCJEA, which protects victims of domestic violence. If the ICARA does not determine subject matter jurisdiction, then there will be an absurd result for future cases. In any case where somebody is not able to seek return of their child under ICARA, now they can use the UCCJEA, which as applied here, has even fewer exceptions than the treaty. So in all cases like this, the statute would in effect supersede the treaty. You could just skip the treaty.
Ms. Lipka, are you aware of any case that discusses the concept of subject matter jurisdiction in terms of both the Hague Convention and the UCCJEA?
I haven't found any cases with a procedural posture like the case before the court. There was a case out of Nebraska, which I cited in my brief, where there was a very similar case, although the procedural posture was very different. The child reported sexual abuse. Canada granted more parenting time to father. Nebraska refused to retain subject matter jurisdiction, but that was based only on the UCCJEA. The appellant raised ICARA, but no ICARA petition had ever been filed. So I think that in that case, those protections that were made to the statute later on by the legislature were helpful, but not necessary. I think those protections are already there in the statute. Thank you very much.
Subject to our order for additional briefing, the case will stand submitted, and an opinion will issue in due course.